Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The Bill Michaels Show, final hour on this 10th of July, on this warm, hazy day, and we are glad you are with us. Our good buddy Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Kevin, how you been, buddy?
It's all good. It's Friday. I can see that weekend. I can kind of see the sports world on the horizon. Who knows if we get there, but we've got plans, so that makes me happy.
So I'm going to start with you first because I'm seeing pictures of you in cleats. Are you playing ball again?
All right, so I'll tell you the story. I was coerced. No, I was not coerced. I made a decision. I'm like, you know what? I didn't want that moment in a heap on the ground to be the last one I had in softball. So I have been working toward it. Monday night we had opening night. And I had an RBI single in my first at bat. It's instead of the miracle on ice, it's the miracle on dirt. But
oh my goodness!
All limbs are intact. I have all four limbs still, so no hospital visits. That's a plus.
That's awesome. Yeah. Holy mackerel! Who knew? Hey, so we'll get into to Miller Park. From what you've heard coming out of Miller Park, you've got guys that are obviously trying to make the squad, guys that are not making the squad, but guys that are trying to kind of, you know, prove themselves. Corey Knebel's coming back. It was good to see him throw the other day. You got a really good battle yesterday, Craig Counsell said, which was the highlight when the storm was brewing between Christian Yelich and Woodruff. Obviously, you've got other guys that are coming back from non-COVID-related illnesses. So give me your thoughts as to the, you know, summer camp 2.0 so far.
You know, as Thunderdome-ish as it is, as completely alter reality as it is, I've enjoyed these last few days. It's like, here's what I liken it to. I think it would be very fun for the average fan if in the average year in Arizona, they could do this sort of thing on camera. They could stream a workout on camera. That would be immensely popular because you would see these guys in a little different setting than you would on game day. And I think that's what we're seeing. There was a moment at the end of, was it yesterday, where Ben Gamel was called out on strikes to end whatever the scrimmage was, and he points up at the video board that shows a pitch tracker, and it shows that the pitch was outside, and the guy who is a Brewers staffer that was umpiring just sort of shrugged at him like, yeah, sorry, you're still out. you get stuff like that leading up to the season. I think it's fun. I think the thing that's impressed me, the Brewers are doing, I think, as good a job as they can to prepare. But they're having fun, and you get to see a little bit of that. That's the thing that makes me happy right now.
So as we kind of move forward, I know there was a lot of excitement about Corey Knebel. You tell me how you think he'll end up being used.
I think if Knebel is 100% healthy, I think that Craig Counsell could just press the 2018 button on his desk and make Knebel his ninth inning guy, and then Josh Hader can go back to that facing the middle of the order or going two innings in key situations earlier in a game where there's two very valuable relievers then. There's a guy that throws the last inning, and there's a guy that throws the most important inning or two that isn't the last inning. I could absolutely see a return to that. Knable, before the injuries set in, Knable was fantastic. I mean, he was, you know, one of the better relievers I thought in the National League. I mean, we know Hader's in a class all his own, but to have both of those guys there is going to be essential. And this 60-game season is a whole different set of challenges. I think anytime you can lock down two good positions anywhere, it's going to be a benefit even more in a 60-game season. So Knable is the closer, and Hader is that swing-around guy in the bullpen. Gives the Brewers an immediate leg up, a lot like it did in 2018.
I was reading a lot about Craig Counsell and the fact that he utilizes his pitching staff in September probably as good as anybody in Major League Baseball. And I was watching on MLB Network last night where they said Craig is going to manage the 60 games like he manages September. Do you feel, and I know we go through this, but it just seems like everybody feels that Craig Counsell has a leg up in this season.
Yeah, and I think there's some legitimacy to it because Craig Counsell, the thing that he's done, leading or starting with 2018 and going since then, the thing that he's done the best for me is he hasn't been afraid to bend sort of the traditional rules of the game because baseball has been around a long time, has gone through a lot of iterations over 150 years, and things have changed, but sometimes the book or the standards haven't changed. And what Counsell has done late in 2018 was the perfect example. Basically, he'd have starters go two innings or three innings, and the point of it isn't a lack of trust in starters, because when I first saw it, I thought, man, he needs to trust his starters. I think his starters would dislike not being trusted. But the more I watch it, the more I realize what it is. If you have a starter out there, Woodruff is probably an exception, but any other starter that's out there, and you let them face the lineup once, then you let a reliever face the lineup once, then you let Hader and somebody else face the lineup once. You know, you do this sort of thing. You're giving these different looks to hitters all through the game. You're not letting them get comfortable. You're not letting them get settled in and get a second at bat and look at different types of pitches from their pitchers. And I think that's there are two things that have to work for that philosophy to succeed. You got to have a great and deep bullpen, and he did in 18. And you've got to be able to trust that your starter will be okay with this, and I know that the starters aren't going five or six or seven and getting wins, but you know, you throw two or three good innings at the start of a very important baseball game. There's nothing wrong with that, and I think those pitchers would rather play in important games than not. So I'm down with it. I think if Craig Counsell spends 2 months the way he normally manages September, it is an advantage because he's, you know, this is an unusual season and he's taken an unusual approach and it's worked.
Talking with Kevin Holden from CBS 58, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. This this situation with a designated hitter, the outfield, they were going through some of the metrics. When you look at Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain specifically in the outfield, if you take Ryan Braun kind of out of that mix, defensively speaking, and not to knock Ryan Braun because I still think he's a very good left fielder and has been, but they start to go with the analytics of this outfield can be considered one of the better in baseball as far as speed goes, power. They can hit for average. If Lorenzo Cain bounces back, boy, this thing looks dramatically different, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And here's the thing. You go back to when this all happened because Yelich and Cain became Brewers literally on the same day, just an hour or two apart. And the thing that David Stearns talked about that day was the fact that those are players that do a variety of different things very well. Christian Yelich has become an MVP in Milwaukee, but what he was when they traded for him was an outfielder with speed who could play good defense, who could hit for some average, and who could hit for some power. And he's blossomed here, but the idea behind getting him was to get that combination. Lorenzo Cain, same thing. The defensive ability is strong. The speed is good. You know, he'll hit for a good average and a good on-base percentage. So this is part of the vision that was brought in, that they wanted guys out there who did a lot of different things pretty well. Not the best power hitter or not, you know, the number one speed guy in the league, but they had this strong across the board skill set. And the fact is, those two, plus Avisaíl García, who I think is a tremendous addition to the team in left field, Ryan Braun can switch and become a DH. So you're talking about one of the best outfields in the game. I buy it. I think they have been that, and they will be that if Kane is healthy and productive again.
Would you say the weakest link is either behind the plate or first base?
Yeah, you hit that just right. I think David Stearns has always wanted to find some sort of solution at first base. He's been comfortable just plugging in Chris Carter, Mark Reynolds, whatever, and Justin Smoak could be that guy. There's a chance Logan Morrison could be that guy, but I don't think you're getting wowed at first base. And at catcher, there are still some legitimate concerns for me. I think we got spoiled last year watching Yasmani Grandal, because there were times down the stretch where I thought Yasmani Grandal was very clearly the second best hitter on this Brewers team. And he's gone. And there's a combination of the good bat and the good handling of pitchers, these things that sometimes aren't quantifiable in stats with catchers. And Omar Narvaez, I think, is a solid guy, but I don't see Yasmani Grandal in Omar Narvaez. So, yeah, if you're asking me concern spots, it might actually go catcher. And then third is this weird question, because there's like nine people in this vortex swirling around third. And then first, I think those are your three question marks.
Who hurts the Brewers more, Moustakas or Grandal? Because Grandal, remember, now he's going to face them playing the White Sox.
Yeah, the fact that they changed the division stuff up, that's the first thing I thought is, are you kidding me? Like,
right.
We have to go face Grandal now, the Brewers do. And the White Sox, by the way, are a team on the rise, and they will be a ton of fun to watch this year. Luis Robert, their prospect, is a masher. And they went out and got some other guys, too. I still think Moustakas hurts them more, just because, you know, you ever get a feel for someone like this, that he's going to be a Brewer killer, like mm-hmm. when you go to face him? Moose feels like that guy. And Cincinnati's going to be a tough team, too. They made a lot of good additions in the offseason. Yeah, Grandal is not going to be fun to face, but they got to play Moustakas 10 times. One-sixth of their games are going to be against Mike Moustakas. That does not entice me.
Real quick before I let you go, Kevin, the Bucks are in the bubble, so to speak, and so far so good. But how much does it concern you that they had to shut down the facility because of the positive test?
Yeah, these are the moments that make you concerned. Not even so much for the Bucks at NBA, but for sports in general. Like, all of the red flags have been flying up. The Bucks were one of the teams that had to shut down practice facilities, and that leads you to think that they were in their own kind of version of the bubble already, and something happened. So it tells you that the bubble is probably not going to be COVID-proof, and there's going to have to be a lot of adjustments made. The Milwaukee Milkmen had to cancel a game Sunday. They had two positive tests on the team, and they had to postpone Sunday's game because of it. And then you've seen the stuff the last few days with Ohio State, with the Big Ten, with the Ivy League. That's why I said in the beginning, I like that there's a plan. But I got to be honest, I'm looking at anything the rest of this year sports-wise as a bonus. If it happens, it's great. But my expectation is gone. If these things don't get off the ground, I'll understand it, because we're still dealing with the virus and we're still understanding the effects of it. And trying to live some sort of life is a positive. I don't mind that. Trying to live a normal life is that you're setting yourself up for failure if you're trying to live it completely normally. Right,
so
now.
So do you think with what we saw in the Big Ten, the Ivy League shutting it down, do you think we're going to – I think college football is going to be put off, but do you think college football is going to happen or not?
No, I think if you're asking me to bet on it right now, I don't think the college football season happens in the time slot that it's in. They could move it to spring, and there's no reason they couldn't. I mean, it's, you know, might be a little weird leading into the draft, but – we're getting close to the fall, and the plans to do grand things in the fall are going to fall apart. We're not at that point yet. So, yeah, my guess is no college football at all.
Always good, my friend. Stay safe, and I'm going to, you know, cross my fingers we don't hear a snap on a base path.
Yeah, they're now asking me to wear ankle braces and tape even when I'm not playing, just when I'm walking around the house. I'm that much of a danger to fall apart now.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Stay safe. There you go. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers. They're hiring right now if you're looking for a good team to go join. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Speaking of drivers, if you got a car, Van Horn Automotive Group, they want to buy your car. I'm not kidding. Listen up. Any of their Wisconsin or Iowa locations, they're going to buy right now. Cross-brand selling from Ferrari to Geo Metro. Doesn't matter. Your car's never been worth more. No gimmicks, no pressure to trade it in either. Sell without the challenges of posting it online and managing strangers, and they just want to come and take a look and processing titles and changing plates and all that kind of stuff. You don't need that. Go to VanHornAuto.com. Visit any Van Horn location, and you can just check it out. Or go to VanHornAuto.com and click on Sell My Vehicle. It'll give you an instant Kelley Blue Book instant cash offer. And as far as service goes, if you've been putting off that service work, that check engine light's on, don't worry about it, okay? 0% APR for the next 12 months, up to $2,000. The application, it's quick, it's easy. You can do it right there at the service center, or you can go to VanHornAuto.com. Not to mention, at VanHornAuto.com, you can buy new, used, fully online. You can find a car, finance a car, trade in a car, all online. Go to VanHornAuto.com to buy your car right now from the comfort of your own home. VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. Not to mention, they have been practicing the CDC guidelines for a long time anyway, but they're sanitizing workstations, continuing to disinfect the customer lounges. Technicians are wearing gloves and wiping down the vehicles and the touch points and such inside. You can even take it to have it serviced to get your vehicle disinfected. That's the Van Horn Automotive Group, family-born and employee-owned. I encourage you to go to VanHornAuto.com. That is VanHornAuto.com. Stay tuned. We got a lot more coming. By the way, Zion Williamson in some hot water, and we're going to hear from Steve Ashburner, NBA writer for NBA.com. That's coming up after the bottom of the hour. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, Zion Williamson, the rookie phenom in the NBA, his stepdad, there's a whole mess here because it's been rumored for a while that either he or his family took money from an agent in Canada, a marketing agent, going back to October of 2018. That was prior to his only season at Duke. And this is what happened, is that it looks as if, at least according to all the court documents and exhibits and such, it looks like his dad took 400 grand from this marketing agent, okay? And then Zion becomes the phenom that Zion is. So we all know that once you take money, your family takes money, you can't do it. You're considered a pro at that point. It doesn't look like he took the money to go to Duke. It just looked like they took the money based upon what would be his future earnings. So what happened is his dad takes the money, and then his son, it just blows up, right? Zion time out there in Duke, and things get crazy. Well, Zion then gets approached by a different agency, all right? So they get approached by an agency that says, hey, we'll represent you. We can make you more money. We're here in the States, you know, everything. So Zion then decides, well, this is where I want to go. I want to go with this new agency. So what Zion Williamson's dad then does is say, look, we're going to go with somebody else. We promise once we get our money from this new agency and his contracts and such, we'll pay our money back. Well, the old agency that supposedly, allegedly, gave Zion's dad the money to begin with is now suing him because of what the future earnings can be, obviously. And they're out of a superstar. They don't get that superstar. So the Williamson's attorney now, their contention is, we don't know this guy. We don't know who it is. Everything's a fraud. Everybody's lying. That ain't happening. We're not a part of this. Now, the Williamson's attorney says the signatures on all these documents and the check and everything, all fraudulent. They're all bogus. It's not happening. So the whole mess is now gone to court. Okay, it makes Zion look bad. His parents look bad. Duke look bad. It just doesn't play in their favor. Because we hear about this time and again, and then obviously it comes down to, well, yeah, here, we'll pay you back. We'll give you a settlement, and then it all goes away. And you never really know what exactly happened. But at least according to the court documents and the exhibits that the prosecutors are showing, or that the attorneys are showing, it looked like, or allegedly looks like, the Williamsons took, you know, all close to $500,000 for Zion Williamson's services to guarantee him that he would sign, or indeed did sign, with that particular agency. But it's just an ugly nightmare. Now, the one thing is, I guess Duke is a little bit clear of this, because it wasn't, at least according to all this was more about representation than it was the declaration of, hey, I'm going to Duke. Okay? So at least in that sense, it doesn't paint Duke in a bad light. But, you know, we'll see what comes of it before it's all said and done, because it's just going to get uglier. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. As you know, get out and enjoy a few this weekend as you're doing some of your yard work. Maybe you're boating, hanging out. You know, you just want to kick back after you get done, you know, spending a day on the lake, or maybe a long motorcycle ride. You come home, you put your feet up around the fire pit. Bud Light, there you go. Make it an enjoyable weekend. When we come back, senior writer for NBA.com, Steve Ashburner, not in the bubble, but could be in the bubble. Nevertheless, you're going to hear that conversation. That is coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Everyone needs a place to run away, run away.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We are glad you are with us. Hopefully you are having a fantastic time today, getting you ready for the weekend, maybe to get out and enjoy yourself a little bit, just kind of hang out. We'll tell you more how you can enjoy yourself on a one-tank trip. That's coming up here in just a little bit. Stay tuned for that. Our good buddy Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Are you in the bubble?
No. I'm still at home in my home office in the Chicagoland area. We're awaiting marching orders from the bosses down in Atlanta in terms of how we're going to be deployed. I think the thinking is they're going to try to have us go in sort of a relay team with 2 to 3 week stints, and then pretty much like everybody else, watch games from our sofas and monitor and cover off the pre, post game, and off day teleconferences. So no, I'm not there yet. I assume I'll be down there at some point. It sounds like it would be sort of the second level rather than that embedding in the bubble. But if you're embedded in the bubble, you're talking a 3 month commitment. So you know, that's a different ask.
Yeah, I'm. I was talking about this earlier this morning. So the protocols they have to follow, living within that bubble, staying there. I guess my first question is, what is the likelihood that players just don't adhere to it?
I think they've even anticipated the potential for that with the 1-800 snitch line that's been installed, that, you know, apparently players can call to report somebody breaching protocols. And they also have a pretty stringent re-bubbleizing yourself if you have strayed, if you've left the bubble, if you've gone to downtown Orlando or whatever it is. It sounds like you have to re-quarantine. You have to, you're going to be away from your games, and the games you're not playing at that point, you won't get paid for. And then the third thing, and they say this rather ominously, you will be subjected to the more thorough, I think they call it, swab all the way up your nasal cavity test rather than a less invasive and less uncomfortable test. So it's like there's even going to be sort of a physical stick applied if you know, for punishment if you stray and breach the bubble.
We're going up your nose and poking your brain if you come back
out of the bubble. That'd be enough to get my attention. I'll stay put. Thank you.
I have seen a couple of people do that recently, and that it just looks like it hurts. You know, and they like lean forward, and you see stars, and you just try to gain your senses for like 5 minutes after it's happened. So, I wouldn't want any part of that. Hey, Steve, we hear so much about guys. Some guys are going to opt out. Some guys are not. In Major League Baseball, Buster Posey just opted out and said, "Up, not going to do it." Are guys feeling pressure to be in this thing because, you know, their other teammates are doing it? You don't want to let your team down. Are guys feeling pressure, or is this sense of, hey, we got a shot at possibly getting into the postseason and playing for rings here? This is the reason we're going.
I think you've got players scattered all along the spectrum. You know, there are many who just want to play basketball. It's what they do. It's when they feel most normal, even if the circumstances aren't. And they want to get going and just sort of get that feeling back that they have some, you know, a little more control over their destinies. You have players that actually think, I mean, you know, this is our chance, you know, to win a ring. I mean, LeBron wants to add a ring for his legacy, no doubt about it. The Lakers have as high hopes as they had when this season began. You know, he may have some teammates that feel pressure not to let him down. You know, the sort of normal bonding chemistry team pressures that go on where it's sort of like, well, I have to uphold my end of things. And, you know, probably the Milwaukee Bucks roster has that as well, that this is our best chance. We're being stripped of home court advantage, which, you know, they figured to have over everybody. But, you know, they still think they can, and they want to figure out a way to get a championship. This franchise hasn't had one. Many of these players have never had one. There's a belief that if Giannis Antetokounmpo can get a ring with the Bucks, that would sort of let the air out of speculation next season about his future whereabouts. So there are reasons for them to feel that way. And certainly if you're at the lower end, if you're with the Wizards or you're with the Brooklyn Nets, you know, the Sacramento Kings, sure. I mean, isn't it human nature to think like, well, what are we doing here? I'm back here. We're probably going to have 8 games and out. Will it have been worth it to quarantine for and practice for as much time as we're actually going to be playing games? So, you know, I think that you see all normal reactions that a lot of us in everyday life would have.
We've talked a lot about Giannis, obviously, and the signing and, you know, the Supermax upcoming. I was reading today an article about the economics of the NBA, how things may change because of the pandemic, and maybe not for just this year, but for the upcoming season, maybe a season beyond that. What do you think changes in the contract structure of what the Supermax may look like and the likelihood of then Giannis signing it and staying in Milwaukee?
Well, I mean, that's still to be discussed by, you know, the league, the owners, and the players' union eventually. I guess the options are essentially the salary cap sort of stays on a roller coaster and goes down proportionately to the basketball revenues. And if there's a big drop in that because of loss of fans in games and a drop in TV ratings maybe, and, you know, whatever affects the basketball income, you know, if the salary cap goes down commensurately, it would be, you know, a big blow. And contracts could that, you know, contracts that are signed would be paid. That would be a blow to the teams. That would put them into some serious red ink, potentially. But contracts to be signed would be based off a much lower salary cap and revenue number because the players get, you know, about 51% of all the revenue. That's the partnership element. So if the owners take a hit, the players take a hit on new contracts, Giannis's new deal would be, you know, significantly less than the $253 million that has been out there based on the good conditions. But the gap between him and what any other team could you know, between the Bucks offer to him and what any other team could pay him would still be rather large. I mean, it could be, instead of being $90 million different from what the Bucks could pay and what some competing team could pay, you know, it might be $70 or $80 million different. So, relatively speaking, it would be, you know, still a big pot of money, and that would not necessarily hurt the Bucks. You know, I don't know what to make of it. I tend to think that Giannis's decision will be driven more by basketball considerations than by financial, but you can't sneeze at even a $70 million difference. I mean, that's now, I don't want to be guilty of one thing that I've seen many in the media do in the past, and that's to describe the difference in money as apples to apples. It's a five-year deal with the Bucks, so it's a difference in guaranteed money. A four-year deal with an outside team, well, at his age, I think we can all, including himself, safely presume that when year five rolls around, I mean, you know, he won't be, you know, working down at the 7-Eleven. I mean, he'll right. be making NBA money on a new contract. So if you want to say, well, yeah, the 5 years with the Bucks versus the 4 years, that's a $70 million difference, and that's at least, you know, say $30 million different from what, you know, he'll end up after that fifth season is played with a under a new contract. You know, so the gap is not quite as large as those sheer dollars, but you know, in terms of guarantee, in a league where injuries, you know, are not all that rare, to be able to salt that away and know that it's going to be there, that still matters.
Talking with Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Hey, two things before I let you go. One is a historic hire. The first female G League general manager has been hired by the Atlanta Hawks. In today's day and age, in today's climate, how big of a move is this?
Well, I mean, I tend to think, let me put it this way. I think the first female head coach will be a bigger deal than an executive in an office. Mm-hmm. I just think the culture of pro sports, you know, that's when there's going to need to be, you know, a significant shift and, you know, a real open-mindedness, you know, that maybe many of these leagues are not there yet. For a general manager, you know, that's good. I look at sports as one of the few remaining meritocracies we have left. If you're good, you know, you get to play, you get to shine. And I would hope that it would extend to the coaching ranks and to the front office ranks. So if that team does well, that's great. If that team doesn't do well, you know, I don't know that it really matters, you know, gender, race, ethnicity, anything else. I think in sports, you want everybody to do well. You want it to be Lake Wobegon where everybody's above average, but it's not how it shakes out a lot of times. So good for them for having that opportunity and letting it play out. I remember when Frank Robinson was hired as baseball's first black manager, and you know, some people at the time said, and he might even have concurred, that you won't, you know, that was great, but you won't really have sort of equality until there's the first black manager who's fired, and that things are just sort of normal. And mm-hmm. so I guess the more representatives, you got to get folks in these opportunities before you can get to that point. So I guess, you know, that's sort of where I stand on this.
Senior writer for NBA.com, Steve Ashburner, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Always great to get him on the program. He's so good, so personable, and going to be doing that relay race, that tag team, if you will, down in the bubble eventually. A place that you don't have to go to be in a bubble. A great getaway destination where you can socially distance, do it naturally. Two different places, Pine Mountain Resort and the Four Seasons Island Resort. Avoid the huge crowds at a beautiful mountain retreat or a secluded island fun spot. Lots to do, plus casual and fine dining, all within an easy drive. It's a one-tank trip, and if you're not going to go to Mexico or the Bahamas or Europe, this is a great way to do it. It's affordable as well. The Four Seasons Island Resort, that's in Pembine, Wisconsin. large indoor saltwater pool, which saltwater pools are supposed to be therapeutic, so large indoor pool for the kids, nine-hole golf course, executive on the island, easy access to miles of ATV trails, surrounded by water for great fishing, kayaking, you can rent a pontoon, there's all kinds of things to do there. Then there's the Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort in Iron Mountain, Michigan, the official ski and golf resort of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. It's right next to Timberstone Championship Golf Course, voted one of the best in the country and sixth best in the state of Michigan. There's plenty to do off the course there as well if you're not a golfer. Whitewater rafting, hiking, boating, a lot more, fine dining. It's kind of a condo-style atmosphere there. And right now at either resort, you buy 3 nights in July, you get 2 nights free at either place. Visit PineMountainResort.com, PineMountainResort.com, or go to TheFourSeasonsWI.com. That's The Four, F-O-U-R, TheFourSeasonsWI.com. Book at either place. They're beautiful. I highly recommend them. The Four Seasons Island Resort is so historic and so cool. And look for the Season of Savings rate, by the way, when you go to the websites and book your summer getaway. You got to hurry because the offer ends at the end of July. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to tell you about a Packer season that could go 6-10 or a Packer season that could go 11-5. You tell me which side you lean upon, and I'll tell you why. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, Quickery Bake Shop, cookies, assorted varieties. Right now, $2.99 a 12-pack. The Kitchen Cravings 5-ounce sirloin steaks. You can get three of those steaks for $5. That's it. Limited six, by the way. But they've got that pothole pizza, which is now available at Quick Trip. And it's the Packers Pepperelli Pepperoni Sausage Palooza, loaded with big chunks of spicy sausage. There's the meat sweets. Or meat sweats, I guess, is what it is. Nearly a half pound of meat sweets. Half pound of spicy sausage and pepperoni. Excuse me, you can pick it up today. They got a lot of good pepperoni pizzas over there at Quick Trip as well. So stop in. Today only, they got Friel's. It's a Friel Friday. Friel shakes. If you haven't had one of those, you can just go in and type in what you want, and it makes a shake for you. They have those on special as well. And don't forget to use your Quick Rewards card. Pro Football Focus came out with the best and worst case scenarios for all the NFL teams. And the Green Bay Packers, let me give you the best case scenario. The best case scenario they feel would be an 11-5 season. And I know that's not 13-3, but this is what they said. The 90th percentile of outcome relates to 11-5, and that's because the pass rush generated by Za'Darius Smith, Kenny Clark, and Preston Smith once again causes problems for the opposing offensive lines. And at the same time, Jaire Alexander, who had some big plays last year given up, cleans that up and emerges as a top-flight corner. On offense, Aaron Rodgers puts together an entire season up to the standard of what we've seen, say go back to early of 2019 or even from a couple of years prior to that, right? Because he was the fourth highest-graded quarterback through week eight. And then they got more into the run game, and then things began to, you know, kind of settle down. Guys such as Alan Lazard, Jay Sternberger, they really hope that they emerge as strong complementary pieces to Devontae Adams, making the passing game, making you know, the Packers' decision to remain mostly inactive in the offseason look really good and look a lot less glaring as far as not doing something. The worst-case scenario, they say, the 10th percentile, which they believe could cause the Packers to be a 6-10 season. They're a commitment to what they call building around the power run game rather than Aaron Rodgers can prove disastrous, and then the passing game comes back to hurt them by not going after a complementary piece opposite Devontae Adams, because Adams can only do so much as the top option for Aaron Rodgers. None of the secondary options really step forward to serve as a strong complement to Adams. You know, when it comes to the pass game. On the defensive side of the ball, by the way, they didn't do a ton to improve their run defense. We know that after they got just drilled in that NFC Championship game. the linebacker position in particular causes problems. The last time a new top option at the position, Christian Kirksey, recorded an overall grade of 65-plus was 2016. So, in other words, the things that you and I looked at, not getting another wide receiver, not going after, say, Patrick Queen, even, when they had that option to get him and upgrade that position, or at least what we would say would be seemingly upgrading that position, because all eyes are going to be on Patrick Queen over in Baltimore because they chose him, and he was sitting right there. That's who we thought the Packers were trading up to get, and instead they took Jordan Love. So not going after the linebacker, not bolstering the line. If you don't get anything extra out of Montrevious Adams or Rashad Gary, if those guys don't really step up and give you the promise that they came with, and you didn't do anything to bolster that defense, and you didn't get the extra wide receiver, then they're saying, you know what, this could be a 6-10 season for the Green Bay Packers. But the 90th percentile, as they stated, puts you at about 11-5, which I think is pretty fair. I've always started the Packers, when you look at their season, you look at their schedule and such, 10, 11 wins, plus or minus a game, you know, it's probably pretty fair right in there. That's usually where they end up. And I would expect this season to not be anything less. So, you know, we'll see what actually happens. Hey, coming up on Monday, it's going to be a full weekend of sports. There's going to be a lot of eyes on Brewers Training Camp 2.0. Going to pay attention to what's going on at the ball yard. The Bucks now are in the bubble, and we'll start getting reports of the Bucks and their practices coming out of Orlando. You're going to have golf. You're going to have racing. Don't forget, you got the IndyCars racing out at Road America. They're going to be up there doing their thing today and tomorrow, racing not only on Saturday but on Sunday as well. So it's a big weekend of sports, not only around here but throughout the nation, and they're starting to come back. I'm sure we're going to get more and more, you know, coronavirus updates regarding sports as well. So that's all on the horizon. But hopefully you have a terrific weekend. Get out and enjoy yourself. Should be a little bit less humidity. Decent weather. We're going to get back into the heat next week. There's no doubt about that. You can see it coming. But until then, have a great one. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Time for me to go. Have a good one. Sleep.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.